our hope and only expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalm 337, the stanzas 3 and 4. Direct my footsteps in thy word, from sin's dominion save my soul. 3 and 4, 337. Scriptures can be found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 10 through 35, before the 12 articles of our adopted Christian faith, and after the Lord's Day 31, question and answer 85.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe one holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 18, verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Question 85. How is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline? Answer. Thus, when according to the command of Christ, those who are under the name of Christians maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith, and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church or to those who are thereunto appointed by the church. And if they despise their admonition, are by them forbidden the use of the sacraments, whereby they are excluded from the Christian Church, and by God Himself from the Kingdom of Christ, and when they promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and His Church.
Let's seek to face the Lord in prayer. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Thou hast told Peter to forgive not seven, but 70 times, seven times. 1.5 years every day. And in another gospel, Peter said, and today, increase my faith. But we are not only guilty of seven sins, but 70 times 70 times 70 times 70. No end. And thou hast forgiven and art ready to forgive all the sins of thy people. How should we deal with those who have sinned against us? We pray, Lord, that thou would bless thy word in this afternoon and apply it to the heart, speak to our souls, our everlasting souls. In a preparation again this afternoon for thy supper, for the joining together at the table of all thy people, the table of day. Lord, remember us in mercy, extend thy kingdom, that young people might be drawn unto thee and have forgiveness of sins. 70 times seven times seven. Endless. By thy dear Son, his merits, and by thy compassion and grace applied to the hearts of thy people. Be with us, Lord, this afternoon, this evening. Remember us this week at school, study, work, what we endeavor to do. For once we have to give an account of every hour, every minute, every second, every thought, every work, every shortcoming, every complaint, every rejoicing. Lord, remember us in mercy, open the scriptures thereunto, also this afternoon. Remember the world around us, it's tensed. The Mideast is a fire, and if it burns, how shall it be extinguished? Remember that old covenant people, the Jews, the beloved because of the fathers. Lord, remember the church in persecution in China, sometimes in South America, in the Mideast, where you're not allowed to confess the name of thy dear Son and walk in his ways. Lord, persecution cleanses. Name Christians fallen away, and thy people by the fire will be cleansed and more pure. And today, remember the schools, our teachers and boards, the mothers and fathers who are teaching at home, the mission work in Serbia and Montreal. Extend thy kingdom and make thy people a witness for thy glory, for grace's sake only. Help us to hear and apply it to our hearts. for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, the word is Latin and it's censura morum. It's a censorship on the morals that's translated. The morals need to be censored if they are not proper. That's not only congregation way of life, but the doctrines, if they are not pure, are shortcomings. It means, but I'll come to it, that the consistory on Thursday is waiting if there are any complaints, any dissents, any wrongdoings that might hinder the blessing concerning the Lord's table. But you can't come to the consistory with complaints unless you have dealt it yourself with it. That's Matthew 18. First deal with what happened to you by yourself. And I'll say how. Secondly, if they don't listen and don't give in, take witnesses with you. And thirdly, if they don't hear, say it to the congregation. Now, if you listen carefully to the question 85, it means that you say it to the church, but that's the office bearers, that's the consistory, especially the elders. Elders are ruling elders, they have oversight, the episcopoi. We don't like it too much today, to be under the oversight. But the church is under the oversight of the King of Kings, and he has his servants to deal with it. And that should be this week. If there is something that's wrong between you and another one in the congregation, you should deal with it properly, seriously, according to the scriptures. We live in a time and age that there are many loose ends, never dissolved, never dealt with. And do you know what happens then? The Spirit of God is grieved. The Spirit of God is grieved. And you'll find out. That there is a dark cloud over us. It has to be dealt with properly by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. We come to details, but let's first think 439, 1, 2, and 4. 439, 1, 2, and 4. O Israel, God, how good thou art to all the true and pure in heart. Though paths of saints are fraught with evil, thou showest favor to thy people. 1, 2, and 4, 439. Church of Christ is a little children's church. You hear me? The Church of Christ is a little children's church. The Lord Jesus took a child and he put him in the midst and he said, if you're not converted, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The church is a little children's church. God has only in his church little children. Very little children. And the most is the least. And the most is the least. But those little children can be offended. The word offended is scandalon. Scandalon. Scandal. What's a scandal? That's a net on a stick to catch birds or little children. That's a net, and if the bird touches that stick, the net falls. A scandalon or an offense stops the tracks of a child of God if they are caught by it. If you're caught in a scandalon, can you give me an example of a scandalon? Yes, we dealt with it some weeks ago again. You remember that golden statue of King Nebuchadnezzar? It was a scandalon. It wasn't made for all the thousands of that kingdom. It was made as a scandalon for three young men to bow for the idols of this time. And they were protected not to do it. In the life of a child of God, there are many scandalons. The devil always wants to trap you and catch you, stopping your Christian walk and life. If he can, he does it this evening or during the service even. Catch you in a net. Stop you in your tracks, fallen in sin. But woe unto them, says the Lord Jesus, woe unto them by whom the scandalons are coming. For whoso shall offend one of these little children of the church, little children's church, which believe in me, it were better that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were drowned into the depths of the sea. In my house, on my lawn, is a millstone. I can carry it. I can even move it. But the Lord said, it's better for you that the millstone is hanged on your neck and fall in the deep depths of the sea, then you make a trap for any of those little children of my church. Catch them. Woe unto the world because of the offenses, for it must need that offenses come. We need these offenses, these traps. We need it. A Christian walk is always attacked. And the devil brings these attacks as scandalons, as a scandal. We say in Dutch, schandaal, scandal. He likes you to put you to a scandal, that the name of the Lord might be blasphemed and dishonored. For if you fall in sin, the name of the Lord is blasphemed. But we need these trials. We need it. To walk in the fear of the Lord, asking, direct my feet and my eyes, that it won't fall in the scandals, in the traps of the devil. Now when he has dealt with it, then he speaks about the product of the lost sheep. If you would continue explaining this chapter, you would say one of the sheep has fallen in that scandal and has walked away. He went the ways of his eyes, or his mouth, or his hands. The Lord says, take out your eyes. He doesn't mean take out your eyes, but take out what you see. Be blind to it. Don't look to it. Or your hands, if they offend you. If your hands make yourself to be a scandal, take out your hands. It's better to go to heaven with one hand than having both hands to go to hell. Take it out. In congregation, you see that one of the flock of the Lord Jesus, one of the 100, fell in such a trap and walked away. But now the wonder. If you're a little sheep, a little child, he brings you back. He won't let you go and fall in the trap and stay in the trap. He will release you and bring you on his shoulders out of the desert to the glorious kingdom of heaven. That's Christ. Although you make of the kingdom of heaven and you made of the kingdom of heaven a scandalous matter, Christ is taking care of his people. A little children's church, easily fallen in traps, easily fallen in traps. Well, therefore we read that the Lord Jesus has come to save the lost, those who have fallen in paradise and easily fall in traps because of their evil nature, the sinful nature, that old man that's always fighting grace and traveling on other roads than you should walk in. My dear congregation, and then the Lord comes to Sensura Morum. Then he comes to the church itself. Sometimes brothers of one church make a scandal in the church, fight each other with tooth and nails, strive together, scream and yell. No pastor, yes. And then it begins. Moreover, if thy brother, not the world, if thy brother, a true Christian, a son of God, child of God, a little child of God, if your brother shall trespass against thee, yell and scream, not deal proper with you, untrustful, behave and is behaving wrong towards you, making a mischief, stealing from you, lying to you, mistreating you. Can that happen in church? It says it happens in the church. It happens in the church. It happens still in the church. A if your brother trespass against you. What are you now? I know what you're saying. I'm a victim. You want to be victimized. You want to have people sorrying for you that you dealt so improperly with that brother and by that brother. You're telling all the stories how he dealt with you and how he shouldn't deal with you. You like to be a victim, that people feel sorry for you. Have some attention. That man in the church dealt not proper with me. That's not a Christian, you say. Do you? Happens. The Lord Jesus says that it happens. Trespass against you. In the church. Can be even a minister. A deacon or an elder. Oh, what a bad elder. What a bad elder. Oh yeah. He dealt not properly with me. He didn't deal properly in the church. So what a man. And there you go. Oh, poor congregation having such an elder. Such a member. Such a man who's going to the Lord's Supper. Sinning against me. My dear congregation, people always say that I should have compassion with sinners. No, I shouldn't have compassion with sinners. They are not a victim. They are sinners. Guilty. And if they sin against you, they are guilty. Now what to do with it now? Have you heard what he did? Oh man. That's terrible. Don't tell it to other people. Don't tell it. I tell it to you. You're a secret man. You will keep your mouth. But it didn't take long. You find another man and he said, you heard what that elder did. Oh man. And that poor man that was mistreated. What a victim. You know what we like? As pigs. Turning around in the mud. No, Pastor, the child of God doesn't. Shh. Don't say it to me. You don't know your evil nature yourself, probably. And which you're prepared for not to do, you might do it this night. If you know yourself and the weaknesses of your evil desires. Complaining, being victimized. They should have compassion with me. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You want to be in the center of the problem? I know. But what is the answer? Moreover, if thy brother, a little child, shall trespass against thee, go and tell him between you and him alone. Don't gossip. Go and make a visit. Call and say, can I visit you? And then the word is used, tell him his fault. The word is used, elenchthos, it means cutting, convicting him. Try to convince him and convict him of his misdoings. say, this is what you did to me. You hurt me and my soul. Make an appointment and go. But between you and him. Don't take a loudspeaker and sound it around. No, not you. Between you and him. Or her. Alone. Alone. Hey, Mr. Johnson or Peterson, I don't know. Can I talk to you? I have a bit of a problem. Probably you can help me. What's going on? Come in. Surely. You lied to me. You mistreated me. You yelled at me. You screamed at me. You didn't take your promise towards me. You sinned against me. And you have to come with facts. This and that. Not hearsay. Or supposedly thinking. But tell them what they did against you. Facts need to be told. And ask the Lord that he might be convicted of it. Repenting about it. Then no one will know than you and him. That's church discipline. Don't use your telephone and sound it around. That's no good. Go there. If you have something. We always think that we have to wait until the sinner comes to me and asks forgiveness. No, it's the other way around. You have to go to the sinner and say, you have sinned against me. And you need forgiveness. And I'm ready to do it if you confess. What a many loose ends would be dissolved. What would it be a peace in the congregation if it was properly done? The gossip won't go around. If that man or woman, girl or boy would repent and say, yes, John, I yelled at you and you shouldn't have done. Forgive me. The Bible says you have gained him. So church discipline doesn't start with the elders and the deacons and the minister. Church discipline starts between you and the offender. I've had in my 40 years many people coming on the Lord's before the Lord's Supper, not so many, because people are always scared to come and tell the problems. And then they came and I said, that brother has done this to me. I said, did you visit him personally? No. I said, better go home now then. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. It should be between you and him. Don't take a loudspeaker, even in the consistory. Now let's turn to ourselves. How did you deal with your problems in your life? Gossip? Play the victim. Play the victim. Or did you by grace seek him to forgive and ask forgiveness? Did you? Do you know what the Bible says? Then you have gained your brother, your father, your mother. Can he even be a Christian father are. You have gained him. He is loosed. And I think where love is reigning, this fruit will be seen. If there is no love reigning, you will never see these fruits. You're always blaming the other party, accusing. And it fuels hatred after hatred. Do you know what happens ultimately? You can't listen to any sermon anymore. It occupies you. There's no peace. You're sitting in church and seeing the man there, or the woman, or the child. Say, oh. You're obsessed with it. And the gospel has not a free course anymore. And the spirit is grieved. You start to be in darkness. Very much grieved. And the Lord's Supper shouldn't be administered as long as this is the case. That's sensura morum, and I go only by the first step, not the second, only the first step. Now what the Lord Jesus said, he says he might not hear you. Closes his ears, defends himself, and gives you the blame for it. That's always what people did. Adam did it, he says, the wife thou hast given me, that's the problem. He said, my wife is even not the problem, but thou art the problem who has given me that wife. I'm a victim, said Adam. The Lord said, no, you have eaten. Yes, Lord, I have eaten, I've done it. And then the woman said, no, it's the devil and the serpent who did it. I can't help it. Not hearing, not listening to accusations. We want to blame the other. So you're defending yourself, you get a visit, and they say, Pastor, you did the wrong thing to me. Yeah, I can't help it, my evil nature did it. And the judge said to that woman who defended her sin, evilness, before the court, he says, then you and your evil nature are both going to prison. Your evil nature is not an excuse. Not at all. Not you and not me. You did it. And if you want to defend yourself because your past wasn't that healthy, if you say to him, you make it up yourself. See, we always have a problem to be guilty, isn't it? I have a problem to be guilty. I always want to clean up my own roads. Defend myself. But if you're convicted of sin and it's by the Lord, you can't defend yourself anymore. It's over and out. Now that's a whole process, isn't it? Now the Lord says, do you know what you have to do then? Take two or three witnesses. In the Bible, always in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will stand. We'll be sure. Therefore, the Lord Jesus was condemned, but they had only one witness for one case. Until there came two, that he would break down the temple in 3 days and build it again. There were two witnesses that stood in the court. The Bible says, for a certain matter, you have always to have two or three witnesses. And you have to take them along. Probably it are not always witnesses who have seen it.
but they should testify what you said to them and give them a reason to check it. Hey John, do you want to go with me? I have a problem. Yeah, but don't get me involved in that matter. Yeah, John, the Bible says so. Oh yeah? Yeah. And do you have another man who wants to go with me? Or a girl? A little child? No, I keep myself far away from that. Otherwise, ultimately, I will have the problem. No, says the Bible, take two or three with you. And there you go. Can I make an appointment, man? I have two friends with me, children of God, and they want to be a witness. We want to talk to you again, if possible. Do you know what I'm thinking already? That's way too difficult. No. I said it once and he doesn't want to listen. Now I give it up. No, you shouldn't give it up. Take two or three witnesses with you. Go to him who sinned against you, that the word will stand, for God is there where two or three are gathered together. He is in the midst of you as the judge of heaven and earth. For two or three together, I'm in the midst of them. That's the contents of this portion of Scripture. God will testify if there are three or two together. He will deal with it. Now and now. And he says, no, it's all lies. You come to me, it's all lies. I don't believe you. And now you have taken all those people, do you think they will be involved? Hey, he said I did wrong to him, but don't think so. He is a deceiver. I never dealt with him improperly. Oh? Oh yeah? Huh? What now? What now, dear congregation? Let's first sing 243, 7, 8, and 9. 243, 7, 8, and 9. Should sons of my law, of his my laws forsake? 7, 8, and 9, 243.
congregation, that's concerning the practice of life, but the Catechism says it deals also with wrong doctrines. If a minister is preaching here and he has not the right doctrines according to the confession and the Word of God, you have to go personally to him and say that he's wrong. Don't gossip, but go to him and say, you preach not the truth. Your doctrines are wrong. And even in the congregation, if you hear people with wrong doctrines, you should admonish them and say, that's wrong what you're teaching. That's not according to the scriptures. That's the only rule and fountain of truth, says our confession. The scriptures, not what I think about the scriptures, but what the scriptures think about me and the truth. You have to admonish them. That's the work of the elders concerning the minister. That's the work of the fathers concerning their children. That's the work of the mothers, taking care of the little ones, a church of little children. First you and him, and then take some witnesses and deal with it. Don't let it go. If you let it go, it will get worse, and ultimately we will lose the truth. And I know, in the first place, the elders are called to look to the doctrines. They should be preached proper and honestly and true. But also the congregation. And if you don't, you're guilty of a darkness, dark cloud that comes over you. But do it in the way, and I come to it, honestly speaking first. And if not, then take two or three witnesses also concerning the doctrines or practice of Christian life in church or personal convictions. And congregation, if they deny, our question says, practically truth, after have been often brotherly admonished. Do you know what we easily do? And I do the same. Let the people go, I'm going. It's all totally wrong now and I'm leaving. I've seen many children of God leaving the church, starting to read old writers, or a special old writer, but never dealing with wrong doctrines in the church. Jumping out, starting a new group or a sect. You can't do that. Then you ruin the church, not dealing properly with it, and start to gossip. That minister not worth a penny. Have you dealt with it personally? No, I'm going. I'm leaving that old. I told you once that, but I'm not going into details, but the afscheiding, the separation in 1834. There were people in the congregation in Earlham. They were children of God, and that minister was really a liberal minister, really. You couldn't listen to him. But what they did, they admonished him personally. And during the week prayed for him. And God answered their prayers. They said to Dominee de Kock in Orem, he said, read the Dutch canons, Dominee. You're deceiving the people. And during the week they went on their knees and asked the Lord for grace sake. And slowly, history said, he started to preach the truth. He got liberated in the jail in Groningen. personally, saved from sin, forgiveness of sin. But do you know, then he left. He said, no, that old bunch there of the Dutch Reformed Church is worth not a penny. Now I'm starting my own. Now it didn't take long. They split again, and they split again, and they split again, and they split again. And some people are sitting on their own butt. Pastor, you shouldn't use that word. Reading only the old writers. Don't take any responsibility of that old Dutch Reformed Church. I'm leaving that bunch of people. That's no good. You should be there. Admonish. Pray. The truth might be restored. And God is mighty to do it. That they won't fall in a trap of delusion. We lost sight, eh? And sometimes I'm even tired. I think, I'm giving it up. No, take two or three witnesses. And if it doesn't, then the third stage. What's the third stage? Say it to the congregation. Tell it to every member. No. No. Make a telephone call to all the telephone numbers of the members in church. No. And will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce the errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church of those who are thereof appointed by the church. That's the elders. Listen. I always care, and that's not to diminish the importance of deacons. But the elders are oversight givers. And they should deal with discipline. The elders, the episcopoi, and in the meeting of the elders, if people are not listening to conviction, to accusements, you tell it to the elders. Come this week, Thursday evening, to the church elders and speak about it. If they didn't listen, well, you try to convict them. First yourself, but then with three witnesses. And then the church has to deal with it. And if they don't listen to the elders, not to the deacons, ultimately, that's not their task. The deacon's task is to care for the poor. If they don't listen to the oversight of the church, then forbid them to go to the Lord's Supper and write them out of the membership list. The Bible says in another portion, give them over to Satan, not to blaspheme anymore. That's discipline. Why? That there should be a free course Sunday. That there wouldn't be a trap. That the Lord would hide his face. That the presence of the Lord would be here and not be covered by a dark cloud. But congregation will leave in a time and age. To be honest to you, we don't like discipline. I've many times heard from people saying, you have nothing to do with my life. I have to do with your life. If it's not a Christian life and you're a member of the church, even a Baptist member. But first deal with yourself. Yeah, but the consistency doesn't listen to me. That's another matter. Do you know why? They are scared. Scared for a minister. Scared for the people. Scared for losing members. But they are not scared for God. Not fearing His ways. Not walking in His path. And I tell you this, another thing. People easily leave the LA church, and I'm saying this, there is only one church, so I'm Dutch Reformed, sorry. It's not the best church. It's not the best. But I know that God can revive it, even here. But people easily say, now I leave the Dutch Reformed Church, I become an Old Reformed. And if Old Reformed doesn't fit me, then Old Reformed out of the group. Free Old Reformed. And if the old Free Old Reformed doesn't fit me, then I'm starting to be Free Church. And I tell you this, if the discipline is not maintained in the Mother Church, it will never be maintained anywhere else. They jump out. I give you an example in Staphorst. In Staphorst you had the farm, and they had the little house Bezik. It means next to. And in that little house Bezik, there was normally the old farmer and his wife. A kitchen, a bedroom. But there was always a hallway in between. Now that little boy of the family didn't want to eat beans. Nah, no beans. Then murmuring. And I know what the mother did, took that little boy and put it in the hallway. Between the house of the grandparents Rizik and home. And there he was sitting and complaining, yelling and screaming. What is it, John? Ach, Oma, we eat beans and I don't like it. Oh boy, we have applesauce. Come. I like you to be in our house. Separation breaks discipline. For there are always people who like to have you outside of discipline. I remember an old Dutch pastor in my youth, my young ministership. He says, I'm always going to the synod to complain and to accuse them. And God is mighty to reform the church by prayer and admonition. We are way too easy to accept. I've many times worked in evangelization, and then you accept all discontent members. You get a bunch of discontent people, and it doesn't take long, they fight with each other. They're all discontent. They come not for the proper reason, but for dissenting reasons. Now it might be, Pastor, that they come for the true reason, because the gospel isn't preached there. 25 years ago I started here. And they said to me, and I'm public now, we are coming here for the righteousness of faith preached. But it didn't take long, they jumped out again. Came right side in, left side. No discipline. No, Pastor, you're way too sharp. You're saying that we are lost, rotten sinners, and I don't take that. No, since I'm born again, I can do good things. Well, no. You don't believe that they are tainted with sin and therefore worthless in the sight of God? You don't believe it? Is Christ preached? That might be a reason to come. But come with a positive reason. Christ to be preached for lost and ruined sinners. That the church might be reformed church. And do you know what the Bible, what our Father said? The church is reformata, always reform. Let's translate it in English. A reformed church is always to be reformed. You can never say, I'm reformed. You have always to be reformed. Reformata semper reformanda. If you're reformed, you must be always reformed. Again and again and again and again. And if they don't renounce their errors and wicked course of life, and a complaint of the church or those who are thereunto appointed to the church, and if they despise their admonition by them forbidden the use of the sacraments whereby they are excluded from the Christian church and by God himself from the kingdom of Christ, excluded, given over in the hands of Satan, says the Bible. Given over. And when they promise to show, listen, when they promise and show, don't lay hastily hands upon them. They may promise and not show. Be it easy to promise to maintain our evil doings. But they show amendments. They are again received as members of Christ's church and allowed to go to the Lord's Supper. You have to take the membership list and say, done. Congregation, now I say to some of you that we did it with tears, but we did it. We gave them memberships. After we admonished them several times. And it's not nice to do it. But we should ask the Lord them to return. But they are crossed out. And should be crossed out. For a time. That they might repent and return. How many times, says Peter, should I forgive it? If they come to me and say, forgive me what I did unto you, he says, how many times should I forgive it? 7 times, Lord. That's enough, isn't it? If I forgive it 7 times, he comes back and says, I shouldn't have done it, and you forgive it. 7 times? No, says the Lord, 70 times 7 times. One and a half year every day if they come to you. Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that. He comes today and says sorry, and next week he comes again, or the next day he does it again, and comes to you and says sorry. I shouldn't have done it. And then the next day he comes again to you and say, I shouldn't have done it. Now, stop it, Pastor. I'm not forgiving it anymore. I don't trust him at all. Now, do you know what the Lord said? 70 times 7 times. Do you know what Peter says? Increase my faith, because I can't handle that. Then I need faith. What's the faith?
that God forgave you 70 times 7 times 7 times 7 times 7 times. And how are you? Not forgiven. That's the parable, eh? If you so meant sins against God, how shouldn't you forgive the sins against you? Victimized. Is it? Oh, what a poor guy. What a poor girl. What a poor boy. So misused. So wrongly dealt with it. Seventy times 70 times 70 times 70 times 70 times 70 times 70. I'm tired of it. Do you know, oh my dear children of God, God is still not tired of you with your millions of sins. If you bow your knees by grace and say, Lord, I have done evil today, He is ready to forgive for the merits of Christ that's outside of you. Do you hear Him pray? I've heard Him praying. And do you know what He prayed? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive Peter and John and Paul, who murdered the Christians. Forgive him. I'll pay the penalty. And I've paid the penalty already. Congregation, I tell you this, if it's not by faith, you can never exercise it. Do you know what you seek? Tooth for tooth and hurt for hurt. And you will pay back, isn't it? You will pay back, eh? You'll get him, eh? That evil man, eh? Or girl, or woman. You'll get him, eh? One day, you'll get him. One day, God will get you. If you're not ready to forgive. 70 times. 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. I counted it and I said, 1.5 years almost, day after day, hour after hour. Impossible, Pastor. What's impossible with man is possible with God. And if you know how much God has forgiven you, shouldn't you be compassionate to forgive? But admonish them who mistreated you with a desire that you might gain him. For what you bind on earth will be bound, and what you loosed on earth in this way, it will be loosed eternally. No, we are called unto congregation next Lord's Day. Sinners are coming, having sinned 70 times 7. But all forgiven for Jesus' sake. To Him be the glory. Now and forever. Oh, if you can't come next Sunday, because you have no faith, He could give it today, dear. My repentance. I've sinned 70 times 7. Have mercy upon me. The sinner. Not a sinner. The sinner. The sinner. May God prepare the way to the meal of satisfaction, to the Lord's Supper, as an oath, as a sign of His
payment and his obedience for disobedience and guilty sins 70 times seven. I have a friend, he said to me, a million times. I said, dear friend, more than a million times. For Jesus' sake, do it in remembrance of me, says the Lord. Amen, let's pray. Lord, we draw nigh into thy footstool, and I have to confess, I shouldn't even be on this pulpit if I look to my sins. They're all testifying against me, and sometimes even in my office I'm victimized, I think, not dealt with properly. Poor I say. But sin is not poor I, it's a dishonest matter against thee. We have sinned. And then that's evil in thy sight. Have mercy on us, precious Savior, precious Lord, and apply it to our hearts. Remember us this week in all the things we have to do. And if there are things to be dealt with, give us grace and courage, the readiness to forgive, to deal with it in a spiritual and proper way. If it are children, our family members, especially those who know thee, let there be no hindrance for the administration. There are so many loose ends in the congregation, not properly dealt with. Let them go. But we are grieving thee, and the conversions are not heard of anymore. O Lord Jesus, O Holy Spirit, O Father, have mercy upon us and apply it to our hearts. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. 356, 2 and 3. 356, 2 and 3.